Okay, welcome everyone. It's so nice to see everyone. I apologize for last week. I know we had some technical difficulties. I'm torn between blaming it on YU and blaming it on myself. Since I work at YU, it's kind of a wash. So we'll just say it's the computer's fault, and we'll blame it like we do everything now on the pandemic. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, since we last met, I had a 9-year-old in my house come and teach me how to use everything, so I'm good to go. It is wonderful to see everyone. It is an opportunity for us to be able to learn together. The topic for tonight relates to Yerushalayim. We know that we are coming up upon Yom Yerushalayim, which will be an opportunity to nationally celebrate the reunification of Yerushalayim that we have the opportunity to experience in our generation, not for many of us at this very moment, but just to live in a generation with such a miracle, to be the beneficiaries of such a miracle, is in and of itself just incredible. And I know that I speak for everyone that there is a certain emotion that washes over us when we land at Ben-Gurion Airport and we make our way up that hill and we start to see the entrance of Yerushalayim, the communities that are at the outskirts of Yerushalayim, and as we make our way further into the city, to the old city, make our way to the Kotel, there is a certain feeling of connection. There's a certain consciousness that is aroused within us that gives us a certain deep sense of purpose and meaning with regards to this incredible city. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about different dimensions of Yerushalayim. Next week we'll talk a little bit specifically about the Kotel. But what we're going to talk about tonight is really the origins of Yerushalayim. Why it's so special. Why it's so unique. Where does this energy come from? Where does this passion come from that we feel? Where does this connection come from that every single, at the end of so many different culminating moments of religious life, when we sing together Lashana Haba Yerushalayim Abnuya, that it's such a passionate expression of our yearning for redemption that is articulated specifically with the expression of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is really itself an enigma. It's an amazing, amazing concept. We know that when we think about the Beis HaMikdash, so we think about a space that is consecrated by virtue of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence himself. When we think about the land of Eretz Yisrael, we think about our connection to a land that represents us as a nation, our destiny, our calling, our sense of nationhood. Yerushalayim falls somewhere in between. Yerushalayim is a city that has been consecrated with some sort of elevated purpose. It is, on one hand, a city that has within its epicenter the most concentrated experience and space of sanctity imaginable, and that, of course, is the Mikdash Hashem, but at the same time, it's not the Beis HaMikdash. It's a metropolis. It has stores, homes, it has transportation, it has all of the normative elements of religious and mundane living that are animated and part of the larger experience of Yerushalayim, even though it has within its center this pulsating sense of spiritual energy that emanates from the Mikdash. So the real greatness, the real uniqueness of Yerushalayim is it's this capacity to somehow bridge the ideal and the aspirational with the mundane and the real, the terrestrial, what it is that we're trying to ultimately do when we live our lives. And we know that Yerushalayim has always lived within the consciousness of a Jew differently than so many other things. I share with you in the first source from our packet, if you had the opportunity to open it, the first source is from the book Prime Ministers. In this book, the author is describing Menachem Begin's experience the night that they were trying to decide in the Israeli government whether or not they were going to give permission for the paratroopers to penetrate the walls of Jerusalem and ultimately conquer the old city. And the way he describes the mindset and the consciousness, the experience of Menachem Begin is so fascinating. Menachem Begin's brain was so crammed with thoughts that he could not sleep. Tossing and turning, he was gripped by Jewish memories as old as time. His all-encompassing grasp of Jewish history stirred his deepest convictions, causing him to ponder how much longer Israel could wait before restoring to the bosom of its people's Jewry, of its people, Jewry's most sanctified treasures locked behind the old city walls. And then it describes in practicality the measures, the steps that he took in order to advance this goal and ultimately prevail upon the cabinet that they should give permission for them to enter Yerushalayim. And we've, of course, all heard the recording so many times, and it really, it connects us in such a special way, Harabayit B'yadenu, the notion that they had reached Harabayis. And there is some sort of irrational or emotional connection that we feel in our consciousness to this city, to Yerushalayim. It embodies a dream. It embodies something greater than just the moment within which we find ourselves. The fact that Menachem Begin was not simply motivated by the pragmatic considerations of conquest, but that something was going on inside his heart, inside his soul, that finds its origins in something much deeper and much greater than the practical considerations of advancing the military for another particular sector of land, but rather a more existential connection. And that's what we were going to discuss this evening for a few moments. What is the nature of that connection? What is the message of Yerushalayim? What is the passion of Yerushalayim? What do we mean when we say Lishana Haba B'Yerushalayim? Do we just mean that we're going to be in a particular geographic location? Are we really all davening to be in one specific spot in Yerushalayim? Or is it something bigger? Is it something greater? Is it something more transcendent? So here's the most peculiar aspect of the story of Yerushalayim. And that is that a city that plays such a central role in Jewish history and in the identity of the Jewish people, this city is mentioned for the first time in Tanakh explicitly in Sefer Yehoshua. In Sefer Yehoshua in Perek Tes, the Navi tells us, Vayehi kishmoa Adon Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim. This is the first time in Tanakh that we in city as Yerushalayim. What's happening at this moment in Perek Yud of Sefer Yehoshua? Yehoshua has entered the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has miraculously allowed the Jewish people to cross the Yarden in a very similar fashion to the way in which they crossed the Yamsuf. They conquer Yericho miraculously. They have a little bit of a setback, but ultimately conquer Ai as well in a brilliant military maneuver that involves ambush and rerouting armies. And then they are approached by the Givonim with a very complicated story. They end up making some sort of alliance unintentionally with the Givonim. And now there is a new alliance of kings that has heard about the conquest of the Jewish people, that they are making their way through Eretz Yisrael, they're making their way through the land, and now they want to gather together so they could mount some sort of opposition, some sort of resistance to the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. And this is where we hear for the first time the words Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is related to in Tanakh for the very first time by an individual, related to an individual that is going to stand to combat with the Jewish people. And that's the first time we hear about it. And the question is, why don't we learn of Yerushalayim earlier in the Torah? Why isn't something, a city that is so part of our dreams and our aspirations, why doesn't it appear earlier, more fundamentally, as part of the narrative of the Jewish people? So there are allusions to Yerushalayim that the Medrash picks up on. And the most explicit of those allusions begin in Sefer Bereishis. And it happens in the interface between a story in Perek Yudalid and a story in Perek Chaf Beis. In Perek Yudalid, after Avram Avinu is victorious over the northern kings, he is welcomed by an individual named Malki Tzedek. And the Torah tells us, Umalki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. that Malki Tzedek was the king of a city, of an area called Shalem. So it's a pretty proud name to give your country. You name your country, totality. I come from completeness, totality. We're everything. So Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Then the Torah tells us in Perek Chaf Beis of Avram Avinu's journey with Yitzchak and the story of the Akedah. This Herculean expression of faith that Avram Avinu is willing to give up anything and everything that is so precious to him, including his own legacy, in deference to his faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Abraham, I don't want you to offer Yitzchak. And this whole event unfolds on the top of Har Moriah. And at the very end, the Torah tells us in source number 4, Vayikra Abraham Shema Makom Ahu Hashem Yireh, that he calls this place, the name of this place is Hashem Yireh, that Hashem appears. And why? Because they saw Hashem. Hashem revealed himself at this spot on this mountain. And the Medrash tells us in Bereshis Rabbah a fascinating description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's calculation with regards to this space. The Medrash tells us, "V'lama nikra Yerushalayim b'shem zeh." Why is the city called Yerushalayim? What is the origin of even the name Yerushalayim? So the Medrash says, Me'achar v'shem kara oso shalem, since Shem, one of Noach's sons, called the city Shalem, Shenemar u'malki tzedek melech shalem. And the Medrash tells us elsewhere that this was Shem, one of the sons of Noach. Amim korani oso yir'eh. If I name this space Yir'eh, the way Avraham named it, then Kishem Shikara also Avraham, in accordance with the name that Avraham gave it, Shenemar Vayikra Avraham Shema Makomo Hu Hashem Yireh, that Avraham named the place Hashem Yireh. So then what happens? Kishem Shikara also Imkorani also Yireh, if I name it Yireh, Kishem Shikara also Avraham, then Shem, Noach's son, Shehu Adam Tzadik, who himself is a great Tzadik, Misraim. He will be very upset. He'll have tainus. He'll say, oh, I named it Shalem, and you're calling it Yireh. Because Avraham Avinu shows up on the stage of Jewish history, and he names it Yireh. It's been called Shalem for generations. Vinkoraniosioso Shalem. And if I identify this city, this aspirational city, as the capital of the Jewish people for all eternity, if I name it Shalem, Avraham Adam Tzadik, Avraham's also a Tzadik, Misraim, he'll be very upset. And so what do I do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to disappoint everyone. It's almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Balabatim. And he's got to worry, oh, if I go this way, this guy's going to be upset. If I go that way, that guy's going to be upset. What do I do? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Hareni Kora Oso Yerushalayim. I'm going to combine the two, and Yerushalayim will be as in Kimo Shekaru Shneim Yireh Shalem. So I'm going to combine Yireh and Shalem Yerushalayim. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the genesis, literally, of the name Yerushalayim. And the question is, well, what does this mean, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is afraid of offending Shem and offending Avraham? Obviously, there is a dimension to these names and to what these individuals brought to infusing the foundation of this city with its future identity that are both incredibly relevant and impactful and meaningful in shaping the character of the city itself. So the Meshech Chachma in source number 6 comments as follows. V'ha'inyan, and how do we understand this matter? D'shem ha'yo b'dor ha'mabul. Shem was part of the generation of the Mabul. V'ha'yo b'teva. And what was Shem's life? What personified the avoda of Shem? What was his contribution to humanity? He sat in a teva. He was isolated. The rest of the world was on fire, was drowning in a flood. And he's sitting in a teva. What did he do in that teva? What makes him such a tzaddik? He's a survivalist. What makes him such a tzaddik? V'hayu b'teva, v'zon ufanis kol nivrom sham b'teva. You know what Shem devoted himself to? to supporting and feeding and taking care of and nurturing all of the different creations in that table. Why was he doing so? Because he was trying to rectify humanity's major mistake that ultimately resulted in its demise. Because the world had become so saturated with a sense of indignity, with a sense of infighting, with a sense of an inability to live together, to work together, to be different. Shem's contribution on that teva was to somehow recapture the notion of interdependency that really characterizes the nature of humanity. This, by the way, is something that we can appreciate perhaps even more than anybody before us who read this Meshech Chochmah. Because one of the things that we have become so much more sensitized to is the impact of us on others and of others on ourselves. To notice proximity, to notice if we've touched something that somebody else has touched, all of this hypersensitivity has certainly engendered within ourselves a greater degree of recognition and cognizance of the myriad of interactions that we have with each other that we didn't even appreciate were going on. And so therefore, says the Meshech Chochmah, Shem's contribution in that teva was to recapture the altruistic nature of man, to recognize that we depend on each other. We're all in the teva together. And so therefore, he names this city Shalem, because it's an extension of his legacy, of his contribution. The notion of Shlemus, the notion that there is a wholeness, a completeness to humanity, to the world. And that's part of that universality, is part of what is embedded in the very character and nature of that place, of that city. And we know that that will manifest itself in Yerushalayim's ultimate destiny, because Yerushalayim will not just be a place for the Jewish people. Ki beis beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. We read the Haftorahs on Sukkos of all nations coming to Yerushalayim. And we know today that if there's any city in the world that is claimed by such a multitude of religions as significant, whatever the veracity of those claims are, the reality is that it obviously has within it some sort of energy that is attracted by so many different perspectives of humanity itself, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, anybody, so many different. We know when we go to Yerushalayim and we just see the multitudes of people from all over the world who are coming to Yerushalayim, that it has this character, that all emanates from shame. That all started with shame. Everybody needs each other. Everybody influences each other. Everybody has an impact on each other. And then, Avraham, what does Avraham contribute? Avraham is a completely different journey. Avraham is a journey. In fact, if you look at the text of the Akedah itself, it emphasizes solitude. That Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, they make their way with this whole group, and at the base of the mountain, Shvu lachem poim achamor, which the Gemara interprets as symbolic of other nations. The other nations, you have to stay down here at the base of the mountain. Va'ani va'nar nelchadko. Me and Yitzchak are going to the top. What happens at the top of that mountain? A very intimate connection between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Faith, connection, understanding. The top of that mountain is about emunah. It's about kedusha. It's about the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the life of Avraham Avinu. It's about faith. And so therefore, that's Avraham Avinu's contribution to the nature and to the character of Yerushalayim. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing these two elements together, what is essentially being established? This profound synthesis between the capacity to manifest sanctity and faith and holiness at the highest levels and at the same time be a space that is universal and related to mankind and related to people and related to living and practicality. A world of yirah, a world of vision, and also a world of shalem, a world of interdependence between people, stores, shopping, cabs, the noises of a metropolis, the Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Yerushalayim Shalmala. And that combination exists in its very origin. And that's where the foundation ultimately comes from. The Eitz Yosef commentary on the Medrash explains that Shalem, what was Shem's contribution? His interpretation was that Shem's contribution related more to the fact that Shem symbolized the sense of perfection. This kind of flips the models. Shem was born Mohol. He was born already circumcised. Whereas Avram Avinu, we know, of course, when it was one of his main mitzvahs, was the mitzvah of Milah. And certainly the Akedah, which captures Avram Avinu's ascending nature and disposition in always growing and always moving up and always taking on new challenges, that momentum to his nisyonos that is ultimately culminating at the moment of the Akedah. Shem represents perfection. Avraham represents process. So Shem is the world, again, of the Mikdash, of the world of the expressive sanctity that Yerushalayim pulsates with, and Avram Avinu Yireh represents the fact that it's also a normal place where people are striving, where people are growing, where people are traveling, where people are reaching to, and that, in fact, also is part of its nature in terms of what it is. But in the Torah itself, it's described interestingly. It is referred to in the Torah many times, but not by the word Yerushalayim. It's described, it's Hamakom Asher Yivchar, the place that Hashem will choose, which is, of course, fascinating, because Hashem, from all of the Chazal and the Midrashim, seems to have already chosen it. So some explain, I believe I heard this in the name of Rav Kook, some explain that Mokom Asher Yivchar is part of the character of Yerushalayim itself. It itself is always a forward, revealing kind of city. That's its nature. But why not reveal the real name of Yerushalayim? Why not tell everyone, this is Yerushalayim? What's Mokom Asher Yivchar? Why are we speaking in code when we know it's already been decided, it's already been established from the days of Yemei Bereshis, of the days of Sefer Bereshis? The Rabbeinu Bachya writes in source number 9 that even the Jewish people did not know exactly. This Mokom Asher Yivchar was a hidden dimension of Yerushalayim, even from Am Yisrael themselves. So the Rambam writes in his Moreh Nevuchim that there are three reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed Yerushalayim throughout the Torah. The first reason he writes in source number 10 is because yesh bo etzli shlosh chachamos, ha'achas mehen shelo yachziku bo ha'umos v'yichalmu olav milchama chazaka. Because if we would reveal this Yerushalayim, where it is, what exactly it is, its koach, its power, its full, the full breadth of its character and its nature, then other nations would come, this very pragmatic consideration, and try to take it for themselves. Certainly throughout history, that's been, certainly part of what we have seen. We are now in Spiras HaOmer commemorating partly the Crusades, which was in the Middle Ages a crusade to liberate Jerusalem, right? So we know that's certainly true. And says the Rambam, the Hashenis, Shelo yafsiduhu mishuhu biyodam ata, biyashchisuhu b'chol yicholtam. That maybe, okay, maybe you're not worried that somebody's going to come take it, but those who have it will destroy it. In order that the Jewish people shouldn't have it. Nor there, so that if we can't have it, then no one should have it, because they didn't want to embolden Am Yisrael. But his third reason is the one, v'hi ha-chazaka shebahem. His third reason is the one that the Rambam says is his favorite one, the strongest one. And he writes that the third reason is shelo yivakesh kol shevet beheyoso benachalto v'lim shalbo. The reason why Yerushalayim was hidden is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want all of the shvatim to compete and conflict with each other in their pursuit to embrace Yerushalayim as being part of their nachala, as being part of their area. And says the Rambam, "V'haya nofel alav min ha-machlokes va-kitata, k'mo she-nofel b'bakosh ha-kohuna." The same way there was so much conflict surrounding the leadership of Klal Yisrael, which we see later in Parshas Korach, so too there would be conflict surrounding where the leadership of Klal Yisrael would ultimately reside. And therefore, to avoid all of that, ha-mokom asher yivchar. When will we deal with it? We'll deal with it, says the Rambam, only when we have a melech. Achar ela achar hakomas melech. Once there's a melech, then we can deal with Yerushalayim. And in fact, the Rambam writes, the Gemara writes, that when we come into Eretz Yisrael, we have three mitzvos. One mitzvah is to establish a king, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, source number 11, to destroy Amalek, and then to build the Beis HaBechira. The Rambam writes this, lehalochan, hilchos melochim. And the Gemara in Bava Kama talks about the fact that this notion that Yerushalayim should not be subject to tribal discord, should not be the reason for tribal discord, should not be the target of tribal discord. This notion is, of course, manifest in the fact that Yerushalayim is lo nischalka l'shvatim. It doesn't get attributed to a particular shevet. Rather, it lives as a common city for everyone. We have many makoros that reveal that nature. So, I apologize. Give me one moment. Sorry for the penguins. So that's part of the character of Yerushalayim. So says the Rambam, the Torah doesn't reveal Yerushalayim because the whole nature of Yerushalayim is that it's a unifying force. It's not just a unifying force between different elements of what Yahadus is all about, between the ideal and the practical, between the universal and the particular. But it's also a unifying force in the nature of the Jewish people themselves. It doesn't just connect us to the Ribbono Shel Olam, both in the ideal and the aspirational, as well as in the pragmatic and in our day-to-day lives, but it also connects us to each other. And until we have a melech that could bring all those pieces together, we cannot fully express and realize the dream of Yerushalayim. And that's why the Radak writes in source number 16 that Yerushalayim is ultimately established as a capital when David HaMelech arrives on the scene. David HaMelech, which the Radak writes, the reason it couldn't happen with Yoshua because we were conquering the country. And that may be a unified effort, but that unified effort was very transactional. That unified effort was to accomplish a particular goal. It was we were working together to conquer the land. It wasn't about us and each other. And then Shlomo HaMelech comes, and the Radak writes, Shaul HaMelech arrives, and Shaul HaMelech also could not bring Yerushalayim to its fruition because he is not a dynasty that would ultimately shine throughout Jewish history. When David arrives, even though he may not be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech is still the one to consecrate Yerushalayim, because David HaMelech is the first king to bring the Jewish people together. And that's what he does. He takes the capital from Hebron, he brings it to Yerushalayim. It's no longer a question of Yehuda versus Binyamin, the Shaul versus David, the Rachel versus Leah. He's bringing it to a more universal space that all of Klal Yisrael, it's all part of one reality. And the Melech doesn't just unify the people practically. A Melech unifies the people in service of something greater. The purpose of us having a king, that was the problem. We asked for a king for the wrong reason. We asked for a king because we wanted to be like all other nations, to have an authority figure that could represent us, direct us, and serve as this, you know, larger. The real purpose of a melech, what we should be asking for, is an individual that can coalesce us in service of something greater. That's why the melech carries with him a sefer Torah. That's why the Melech understands, and that's what David understood. The first thing he does is he moves the Arun Hashem to Yerushalayim. He creates the Kedusha within which will be this epicenter that ultimately shapes the city. So Yerushalayim is this combination of real and ideal. And Yerushalayim is this synthesis, this collection of many different types of people, many different ways of approaching things. Yerushalayim embraces the notion of Aliyah L'Regel. Everybody makes their way to Yerushalayim, and everybody does it from their own community, from their own road, from their own perspective, and it becomes a giant coalescence of so many different types of people. And the miracle was that the people could be able to bow, and there was space, and there was revach, because that was part of the nature of Yerushalayim. And so Yerushalayim lives in our consciousness, because it's not just about dreams. We have things that are about dreams. We don't say L'shana haba b'beis hamikdash. We don't say that. We say L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. You know why we do that? Because L'shana haba b'beis hamikdash, that's an aspiration. It's hard for us to connect to. We of course we want the beis hamikdash. We want it tomorrow. But you know what we can relate to? What lives as a constant desire and ambition within our hearts and within our souls is the ability to live of the life we know, with the sanctity of the Mikdash. And that is expressed and realized through the concept and the reality of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is not in the Torah because it wasn't ready yet. It needed Klal Yisrael. And we didn't fully have Klal Yisrael until we had a Melech, until we had a plan. And that's why whenever things break down amongst the Jewish people, we lose Yerushalayim. Whenever we can't see the higher purpose, we lose Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a mala and a mata. That's what the Gemara in Taina says. Yerushalayim shal mala, Yerushalayim shal mata. Our ability to bridge, to create a portal between the upper worlds of ambition and the lower worlds of reality. And that is because Yerushalayim represents the dream, and Yerushalayim represents the stones that we could step on to realize that dream. Yiratzol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all, especially within the circumstances within which we find ourselves now. So confining, so challenging, so difficult, with so much sorrows, that we can be able to realize the dream, and that dream is not just the aspirational Beis HaMikdash to go to offer a sacrifice, but the ability to live, to thrive, to work, to connect, to celebrate, to be part of life. That's the dream of Yerushalayim. To not just believe as a Jew, to not just worship as a Jew, but to live as a Jew. That is Lashana Haba, Yerushalayim. Have a wonderful evening.